everybody. Welcome to the Transpose Podcast. This is episode number 8.
And why are we counting?
I don't know, because we can.
All right, fine.
Anyways, I am the fabulous and incredible Robin Allura. With me, as always, the equally fabulous and always wonderful and apparently very interruptive.
Sorry.
Stephanie Bree. Stephanie.
I suck at the numbers. I'm not good at math. So I'm like, are we really on episode 8? And I'm just sitting there like, I'll take your word for it.
Well, it's not hard. You just write it on the calendar. Today, episode 8.
I
would have some clever thing about how we're better than something else that has 8 episodes in it, but who cares? We're probably not.
Hey, guess which one is episode 8?
I know, and I don't want to even give it a shout-out because I don't care for it.
Oh, well, it's also Freddy vs. Jason. That's where I'm going with it. Freddy vs. Jason is the 8th Nightmare on Elm Street flick.
Of course you go there. Of course you go there. Ugh. Anyway.
I don't want to spoil it, but we had to change our top 5 because I couldn't, I wasn't ready for what Robin wanted to do. And I was partially, Freddy Krueger's partially to blame.
Well, I told you, if you did watch that stuff, it's going to rot your brain. But as usual, nobody listens to me. And when everybody figures that out, you'll be all right. Just listen to Mama and she'll tell you what to do.
I listen, it's just you don't talk louder than the ringing in my head.
Ooh, for those keeping track at home, challenge accepted. So, we have a couple of things we need to talk about today. Today is going to be a very good episode. Before we dive into this week's topics, we got a couple things we need to talk about as far as our social media goes. As everybody knows, we've kind of said it at the end of all the shows. The Transpose Podcast is got its own Twitter account. And anybody who actually follows the Twitter account for the Transpose Podcast, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And obviously, it's not me doing it. That's all Stephanie, so if anything horrible comes across it, send the hate mail there. Not to me. and I just threw her under the bus.
That's all right.
That's okay. As for Twitter as well, your girl is on there. That's right. Robin Allura is on there. At Robin Allura. Guess how many tweets I have? Hold for pause. We have to let them all guess. 5 seconds, everybody. 4, 3, 2, 1. You are correct if you guessed 0. That's right.
She's got as many tweets as Freddy Krueger's got Oscars.
Yeah, where the difference is that Freddy will never have Oscars. I will eventually get tweets when I get
learned how to do it.
When I get learned how to do it and I decide I'm not too old to do social media, I do that. I think I'm too old for a lot of things.
She says she's too old for Twitter, and I'm over here like, I'm too old for this damn phone they gave me. It's got a hole in the middle of the screen, which I guess is the phone. It's in the wrong spot. And then I'm still trying to find out where I'm supposed to plug the fucking headphone jack, and I'm still like, oh my god.
I know.
And
we call ourselves podcasters. Can you imagine that? Who would have guessed? By the way, if you are tweeting along with us, I wanted to start a new hashtag. I'm going to start it probably with my first tweet. Ready for this one? Hashtag Robin is the greatest podcaster in history. That's right. I'm going to promote the shit out of myself because, well, it's me, right? Best in the world at what we do.
You don't want to know how many tweets the Retro Witch has on her Twitters.
I don't even want to know.
It makes Robin feel inadequate in ways.
So many ways. But then I just go back and I look at my, everybody imagine air quotes, PhD.
Uh-huh.
And then I feel so much better.
She says that the Catholic girl is about to turn red.
Anyway, we want to thank everybody for joining us today. Today we're going to have some interesting, and they're not really heavy, but they're important topics today. We're going to discuss fitness and exercise and their importance to the trans community. It's a big, big topic that we need to talk about. I have lots of thoughts on this. We're also going to talk today about the real life test. This is a good topic, I think. It's a very important topic because it will help us lead into other shows. If there's some time, we're going to talk about over-the-counter and home remedy transition stuff. I'm going to let your imagination run on that one because that subject is not going to be what everybody thinks it is just by hearing that. And we also have our weekly top five. Now, I'm not going to get into too much on it, but when we get to that point, we'll have a big announcement right before it that involves sponsors.
Well, you just spoiled it.
I didn't spoil it. I just said it involves sponsors. I didn't say it actually was sponsored by somebody. Oh, wait, I just did. And yes, I did that on purpose.
That's
she's confused as hell, people. She didn't realize I just stole the thunder.
Ah, it's okay. I got the task of reading the fun copy.
That's right, because I told her, bring me a promo and I'll read it, and she didn't do it.
I had to work and sleep.
So let's jump in this week's episode. Let's talk about fitness and exercise. Now, I wanted to talk about this topic for a little while because to me, it is so important for the community. I know a majority of the trans community, they're a lot like me. And you have a hard time with getting motivated for it. You know, I mean, sometimes myself, I try to justify reasons why not to do it. And that's not always good. We need fitness and exercise as members of the trans community for so many health and psychological benefits. Now, I will say I have gotten a lot better in this past year with doing it. But I've had a little bit of an incentive to do that, which I'll talk about in a little bit, but exercise and fitness, we all know, as a little disclaimer, it's important to everybody.
Of course.
Right? It's important to men, women, children, everybody, trans or non-trans, other members of the LGBT community. It doesn't matter. It's important to all of them. To the whole humanity, but to us, trans individuals, it's way more important in my opinion, because it actually can help keep other conditions and medical things in check.
So one thing they don't tell you until you start asking about HRT is it does have the ability to affect your blood pressure. So that's something you have to keep an eye on, because the estrogen will most likely, whichever form you're taking, increase your blood pressure. So
that's correct. And that's not the only thing. So I know Stephanie's told me in the past, and I don't know if she's mentioned it on here, that she's had some struggles with that, with the high blood pressure.
Uh-huh.
Anyone who knows me, I'm not sure I've said it on here, but I'm a type 1 diabetic on an insulin pump. And that's the other thing, too, is HRT can affect that in negative ways. Now, that's dangerous because if it's out of control, I don't know about how your blood pressure was, Stephanie, but like my diabetes was out of control. Very bad. So in order to get HRT, I had to get it into control. Otherwise, as my doctors pointed out to me, it would kill me. It really would.
Well, while we're on that, my blood pressure was, they told me it was in the danger zone. But I have an unnaturally high heart rate. Anyways, my dad's got a heart fibrillation, so I may have inherited some of his heart problems, but I also am overweight, and I eat a lot of salt. I consume a lot of salty foods and carbs and things of that nature. So I'm trying to cut back on that. I've been really good at cutting back on the salt. I had been really good getting rid of the carbs, but, you know, something changed.
And yeah, she started eating my cooking and carb. Get rid of carbs? What?
I
don't know how to do that.
I was shocked. I was like, a diabetic who eats carbs? But then she explained to me the science, and I'm like, okay, hurt my head some more. Thank you very much. Give me an aspirin.
But exercise and fitness in general, for a trans individual, they can help get us to those goals, and help keep those conditions like diabetes and high blood pressure. And there was another one, but I can't remember what it is now. That they can help keep those in control and keep those at acceptable levels that those of us on HRT, we don't have to worry as much. I've heard horror stories, and I've heard so many people that I've talked to that tell me that they've had this horrible time where the doctor says, I got to take you off the hormones because this condition or that condition is out of control, and that's just what it is. But if you take the time to exercise and get, you know, a little bit of a workout in, the risk of that happening, which I can tell you right now is a huge deal for the trans community, mm-hmm. of losing the HRT, the risks of that go way down.
Yeah, and when I started, the doctor that I was going to, where I get my HRT from, she said, we got to keep an eye on your health. These are the three factors I want to look at and monitor. And she said, it doesn't matter. All the transitioning in the world won't mean shit if you're dead. And I told her, I disagree. Because I'd rather die a woman than live as a man.
See, I
want to be healthy, but at the same time, I want to transition more than I want to be healthy, because for me, it's just that important. But that's the thing. That's exactly what Robin's talking about. We want... A lot of people don't understand how desperately transgender people want to transition. It's not just, well, you know, I hate to use the word fetish, but it's not a phase. It's not something that we want to do just because we want to have boobs. Because guys, I'll tell you what right now, guys can grow boobs. It's easy. Just eat a lot of fucking potato chips.
Well, yeah, or go get some surgeries.
You know, you can do that too, but...
But, yes, there's a trend... this is kind of sidestepping a little bit, but and a topic I want to talk about later is transgenderism. And, yes, I am copywriting that word. So, from now on, anybody who uses that word, transgenderism... You owe me $5.
She doesn't know it's already been used on the Dark Web podcast, but that's okay. That show's dead, so you can't find it.
Anyway, transgenderism is more than just that. It's more than just wanting, in trans females, it's more than just wanting to have a set of boobs and wear a dress. So, yeah, I mean, to me... My counter argument to the you would rather die a woman than live as a man. Okay,
I'd rather not be dead.
Exactly. I can't say that I would disagree with that were the roles reversed. But I think my deal is right now, I would much rather just be living. I would much rather be alive. And that's okay.
And I don't want people to think that's like a form of depression or anything. It's just that's how much
HRT means.
That's how much I want to be a woman. I know I'm in the wrong. My body's wrong. My brain is wrong. Everything needs to, and the hormones will help. The surgery when I get there will help. That when we get to that, the social transitioning helps. That has helped more than anything, believe it or not.
That's always a good thing. But I know that being on HRT, especially for myself, being on HRT is so important to members of the trans community that most of the time that idea or that little comment made by a doctor that says, if you don't get these conditions under control, you're going to lose your HRT. I'm not going to prescribe it for you anymore. You might as well told them that you walked in and you beat their parents to death and shot their puppy and are planning on blowing up everything they have. Because it is so devastating to be told, here's something that you want so badly. Uh-huh. Nope! I'm going to take it from you.
Robin can tell you, I love carbs. I will eat potato chips all day. I'll eat potatoes. I'll eat bread. French fries, I don't give a shit. I eat tortillas. I eat a lot. I drink a lot of Mountain Dew. I love my sugar. So when the doctor told me that if you don't get this under control, I'm going to take your hormones away, because that's what she's threatening me with. She's like, I will take you off of hormones. I went on a crash diet. I went and I ate nothing but sunflower seeds, and I drank water. For 3 weeks, I was it. I just sat there with a bag of sunflower seeds and I drank water all day. And then I went back to the doctor and I got my test and everything came back perfect.
But I want to put in a little caveat to that.
That's not the right way to do it.
Exactly. Before everybody thinks that, oh, well, that's a solution, is to stop.
But I was desperate enough to, like, look, I don't want to give up my carbs, but you know what? I'm going to go on this crash diet just to get healthy enough to get to the doctor to say, okay, we'll give you 3 more months, and then I'll figure out a plan to get everything under control.
Exactly. And the caveat to that I was going to say is that there are some certain guidelines, and you don't really want to go too crazy one way or the other.
Right.
Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about something that goes with the fitness and exercise, which is kind of dieting in a way, here as we get going. But another condition that is extremely deadly to trans individuals, this is for both, and I want to make sure that's clear. Everybody understands, this is not just males to females. This is males to females and females to males. We all have this increased risk because of HRT, and that is blood clots.
Yes.
Blood clots kill so many people every day. And there's something that you can't detect. And by the time it's detected, it's almost too late. But exercising, fitness, movement, doing things, that takes that risk way down. Those things like blood clots, I mean, obviously they can lead to heart attack, stroke. Depending upon where it started and where it goes, it can suffocate you if it gets in your lungs. You know, it's bad mojo.
Right.
And that's a very big deal that we all have to be careful of. I mean, I'm just as susceptible to it as Stephanie is. Stephanie's got high blood pressure, so she might be a little more. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, and I've never played one on TV.
Oh, well, you're missing out.
John Stamos, send me a check, please. Anyway, so there's another thing that I do want to talk about. There's a benefit. Now, I've kind of started this whole discussion off with doom and gloom. You know, do this or else. Ugh. But there's some positives. Mm-hmm. I want to pull into the light here. And they are all psychological. They're psychological benefits. I know after I do a workout and I do my exercises, I have a sense of accomplishment that I've made it the whole time. I've set myself a goal of how long I'm going to work out, and I've done it, and I have a really good feeling. Plus, it does help me feel like I'm progressing and I'm moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's really really a good thing. Those of us who are on hormones, I didn't exercise a lot till I got on actual HRT, and I'm talking the estrogen and the blockers. And the reason for that was I was afraid without that estrogen, my body was going to tone up in a masculine way, which, surprise, surprise, it would have. But with the estrogen in my system now, I noticed, like, the first change I noticed was in my legs. And it's slowly getting there as I lose not so much weight, but my body shape is changing. I'm losing some inches in my midsection, things like that. I'm finding that my state of mind is getting better. It's getting better because I'm starting to not just see from the hormone standpoint, but from all the hard work. I'm starting to get a lot more feminine looking here.
Yeah. And one more thing, too, on this. It's sort of like goes to the importance of having what you said, a routine, you know, having mm-hmm. a plan. Because once you start transitioning, male to female, female to male, they'll have an easier time.
Okay.
But male to female, you have a harder time once you get a certain point, and I don't know what the cutoff is, but you get to a certain point where your body has redistributed the fat and it begins building up a layer of fat under your skin. Women have that.
Mm-hmm.
Men do not. And then it becomes even harder to lose to burn the fat.
And it does.
Becomes harder because your muscle mass changes too. It becomes harder to build muscle, which makes it even harder to lose the weight. Because when you're a man and you're working out, the first thing you do is you pump iron and you build up your upper body so that you have muscles that are going to burn all those calories. Then, you know, you start bringing your calories down, you start running, and then your pecs and your guns, so to speak, will chew up all that fat. Whereas when you're a woman, no. I mean, your boobs will take some of it.
But not all of it.
Your hips will take some of it, which I'm wishing my damn hips would get on board. My breasts are going all right, but and then your thighs are going to get some.
Your muscles and your body fat are going to redistribute.
Yeah.
Now, if you're one of those that just wants to wait for the estrogen to do its thing, something that my doctors have told me, and I tell other trans women, add exercise. Even if you're not overweight, if you're not like me and you're not like, I'm overweight, I'll admit that, then still, you still want to exercise, not just because of the whole blood clot thing.
Yes.
But it helps with your overall feminine shape because what's happening, that estrogen is getting a little bit of help reshaping those muscles.
Yes.
And getting that feminine shape. And it just makes you feel so much better when you look in the mirror and you go, hey, look at that. I got an ass now. I mean, okay, or maybe that's just me because I went from absolutely nothing to now I got something in my trunk a little bit. Not a big junk in the trunk, but now I actually have the shape that I need.
I was in pretty bad shape because I was intentionally overweight because it was the only way I could wear bras. I wanted what we call the man boobs and other stuff because, I mean, I tried to balance being overweight with not being too overweight because I wasn't ready to be out and transitioning publicly, but I was just like, you know, that was not healthy, but that was that was my coping mechanism. And it's not a good thing, but it goes back to what we talked about last week about mental health. Mm-hmm. Trans people go through a lot. They suffer a lot, and a lot of it's self-inflicted because we just want to be something that society makes it impossible for us to be without us getting help from other people.
Or they make it feel like it's impossible.
Oh, it's not impossible, but God but it's damn, hard. It's damn hard.
It's hard. It really is. And you're right that, and I think I actually know a couple of individuals that hopefully if they're listening, You started taking my advice, and it's exercise, and they were the same thing. Like, you told that story to me before, Stephanie. They put on weight to get growth in their chest, mm-hmm. and because they're not out, because they haven't really started the transition process, when somebody said, hey, you got something going on in your chest, they could just fall back and go, I'm just fat. That's not healthy, and I hope those of you that have told me those stories that are listening, you know what the advice I gave you was. I'm not going to put you on blast on here, but, you know, we want you around. We want you to be part of our community, so...
Now we have to live long enough to win the fight.
We have to win the fight. We have to. And we have to keep the fight going. So,
yes.
Please, please do your girl a favor. If you know who you are, if you're listening, please, please take my advice. And we want you here. We want you on this planet. This planet's not perfect, but we want you.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to say something about fitness and exercise that the entire trans community needs to be aware of. When we talk about this subject, and we talk about fitness and exercise, we do not mean you have to get into ripped shape. If you're a female to male, or even a male to female, so as I mean that it's kind of hard to explain, but to break it down easily. What I mean is that trans, for all my trans women and friends out there mm-hmm. listening and our allies, you don't need to work out so much that you have that supermodel or even porn star look. I know.
Why does she always talk about porn stars? Good God.
That's another topic for another show that I'm going to get into. But we are kind of, as a society, forced to be that is beautiful, right? And you don't have to work out that hard. You don't have to, but exercise is still important. To all the trans men, if you're listening out there, you don't have to get into the same shape Hulk Hogan was in the 80s.
Oh, God.
I mean, you can get into the shape Hogan is in now.
I'm almost there. Oh, out the belly.
Okay, so maybe 2021 Hulk Hogan's not exactly the best one to go after. But you get what I'm saying. You don't have to be Chris Hemsworth. You don't have to have the six-pack abs and muscles in your arms that you could snap a tree in half with, you know. You don't have to crush walnuts with your abs, you know. Right. But so it's very easy... to in a slippery slope
uh-huh.
to get down into overdoing it.
Right.
And I think the biggest thing is stay active. That even if you're a gamer,
mm-hmm.
take 15, 20 minutes. Pause button. I know they still have them. Use it.
Or if you're on PlayStation, you can push the circle and it'll freeze your whole system.
Yeah.
I don't know what
how that works. I don't have PlayStation.
I know you live in a cave called Xbox.
Let's not get into that console wars crap. But get up.
Yes. Buy a Wii.
Buy a Wii. There you go.
Or a Switch.
Get up. Walk around your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Walk around if you live in an apartment. Walk around your apartment complex. That's all it takes.
They say 30 minutes a day. Exercise for 30 minutes a day.
And you don't even have to go... That's an ideal.
And it doesn't even have to be, like, full-on exercise. Just move for 30
Just
minutes.
Just move. Walk.
Walk around Walmart.
Walk around Walmart.
No, don't walk around Walmart eating a bag of potato chips.
Yeah, don't do that. Walk around...
Someone knows your experience.
Yeah, I'm sure she does over there. As she slinks down into
her
chair.
There's a reason why this isn't a video podcast.
Eventually, you know, you will. Also, something I want to point out from my own personal experience. Set yourself a realistic goal. I mean, we can all go, oh, I just want to be healthy. I want to get fit. Yeah. Well, fit is a very vague definition. It varies from individual to individual, and it's not realistic.
Hmm.
My goal is I have a couple of outfits I can't quite fit into. And I have a couple of others that, well, they're cute, but if I lose a few more inches in my midsection, they would look really good. And that's not anybody else's opinion, okay? AJ tells me I look cute in them either way. But in my opinion, they could look cuter if I flatten out my stomach a little more. So set yourself a realistic goal. Also, don't jump into, you know, the Team Beachbody 21-day fix if you haven't exercised in 4 years.
Right.
You will make yourself sick. Start off slow. 15 minutes a day, twice a week, with a walk.
And it's also like, it's all, a lot of it is baby steps.
Baby steps.
Add a little bit of, just walk a little bit more. Walk to the post office instead of drive your car. Or wherever you can conceivably walk to that's safe.
That's safe, yes.
And then, you know, instead of 3 sodas a day, drink 1 soda a day until you can get to the water. Get off of the soda entirely. And, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, save that extra piece of pizza for the weekend.
Yeah, or, little you know, like, yeah.
Just little things. Just cut back. And then it'll balance out. It takes a while. I was there. When I was, I mean, a lot of people don't know this because you don't see us. You may see me on the YouTube. I'm chunky now, but I was fit when I was in high school. I was active. I was athletic. I was a break dancer. I'm not anymore. Robin can talk about how her athletic days.
I wasn't exactly the most fit in my days. Back when I was in the ring, I still had a little bit of fat, but that was also during the times of you kind of wanted that because when you fell, you needed some cushioning. But still, you're right. And it as we got older, I know for me, it was easy to slide off.
Yeah.
It was very easy to slide into what I was. And now I'm very happy with the results I've had. I've been working out for about a year.
I'm trying to get back into it, but I'm not motivated yet.
Yeah, because I haven't grabbed the cattle prod yet to make her ride the exercise bike.
I don't want to tell you where to put the cattle prod.
So before we move on to our next category, I do also want to talk a little bit here, just a small brief thing about dieting and exercise. Now, you said it there. Don't, with the sodas and stuff, work your way down. When I was diagnosed with diabetes, with type 1 diabetes, in the hospital, I had these individuals come in. They called themselves nutritionists. And they gave me a piece of paper that had easily 50, if not 100 foods that they said, you're diabetic, you can't have this anymore.
Well,
no more. No more of any of these things. So when I first saw my primary care physician for the first time, which I love, and I'm not going to give him a blast on here. If you're in DFW, especially if you're really close to me and you want the recommendation, hit me up on Twitter. I'll gladly send you the info. He told me, he said, don't listen to the nutritionist. He says, I've been in the medical profession for 20 some odd years, and I still haven't met one that knows what the hell they're talking about. Because if you go from drinking 6 sodas a day to none, you're going to shock your system. If you go from mostly carbs in your diet to 0 carbs in one day, you are going to shock your system. And your system is not going to respond well. And it can be even worse. I hear a lot of people go, "Oh, I'm going to get on the diet and I'm going to eat salad. Nothing but salad."
Yeah, that won't last.
And number one, don't do that. Okay?
There are salads out there that are just as fattening as a Big Mac.
Well, there are, but don't do that, because it's not always about what you eat. But it's more about how much of what you are eating. Okay? I have a yoga mat I use when I do some exercising, and I try yoga. Mm-hmm. And my yoga mat is perfect for me, because on it, it says, no pain, no pizza.
Aww.
Okay, if I don't do my exercises and I don't take the pain of working out, Robin ain't gonna get no pizza. And Robin loves her pizza.
One thing that my doctor told me is he said everybody what they do is they try to cut something out that they'll cut the potatoes out or something, or they'll cut they'll just say, oh, I'm going to give up soda and just drink iced tea or lemonade or something sweet that's good stuff. But then they'll do good for about a week or 2 weeks, and then they'll treat themselves with a dessert that's got 4,000 calories.
That's right.
And he says it's better to go the opposite. Keep eating your pizza. Keep eating your M&Ms. Get rid of the desserts. So he says you cut back on the desserts, you're cutting that big, hefty load of sugar, because sugar is just pure carbs, and it's the bad carbs.
It is the bad carbs.
And he said, you just cut back, he says, like, you cut back on your desserts, and then you can load up on your breakfast, and then you cut back further from there.
Right.
So I asked him, does this mean I can eat cheesecake for breakfast?
The answer's no.
And he said, that's what he said. He said, no, I'd rather eat a donut if that's what you want to do, but please don't eat donuts.
Yeah, so what she's saying is they recommend, and I kind of agree with that, but I also kind of don't, because it's completely cutting it out. But
he said substitute it for a healthier dessert.
Healthier, yeah.
He said start with the desserts is basically the advice.
Right, and then portion control mm-hmm. over dieting is always. But here's the thing. Exercise.
Yes.
By itself is not enough.
Nope.
Dieting by itself is not enough. Portion control by itself is not enough. It's a big bad triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to find what works for you. You could work out for an hour and a half and do hypercardio, advanced weightlifting, and everything all at once. Doesn't matter if you swallow a whole pizza afterwards. And I'm not talking a little personal pan pizza.
No.
We're talking giant 16 to 24 inch big as your head pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
If you swallow the whole thing, all the exercise in the world isn't going to matter.
No.
There's a phrase that I've used, and I'm trying very much not to. One, because of the people around me, and it's just not cool to say around them, but it is a mentality that some of us get. And it's, well, we worked out and we did our portion controls and our dieting and everything really good through the week, so we've gotten to Fat Kid Friday.
Yum, 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 yum.
Yeah, don't do that.
No.
Get away from that mentality.
Right.
Working out for the entire week and being good of it does not mean when Friday gets here, or whatever day your Fat Kid Friday is, that you just go it, because you can actually do a lot more damage.
Yes.
And that's where I think we all need to be very careful. I'm not going to give out my workout routine.
No.
I will say one other thing. If anybody's listening, that is our trans fans and our allies. If anybody happens to know of a decent personal trainer who knows anything about the struggles of transgender individuals, please send them my information and send me theirs. I've plateaued. And I don't know. I mean, I need a little help. But always, everything we're going to talk about with that, always do with one other thing. With direction and guidance from your doctors.
Yeah.
That's very important. Doctors, doctors, doctors.
Yeah, because you can't go to the... This is the thing. You can't go to the internet and Google what's healthy, blah, 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 put in your measurements, because there's... You have health issues or DNA or things in your family history that the Google doesn't know about.
Yeah.
But your doctor does.
Your doctor does. So always work with a healthcare provider. I know I do. And I have really good doctors, because when they look at my exercise results, I can usually tell if I'm doing good or bad, because my primary care will either go, oh, look at you, that's pretty good, or, well, and then I know I'm not doing so good. But yes, I think exercise is very important. So be active, even if it's for 10, 15 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day, a couple times a week is a really good way to start. I know for me right now, I am up to 5 days a week, an hour a day. Bike for 30 minutes and then some other exercises for another 30 minutes. But I think I may be overdoing it. But yeah, be active. Be active. Because, like I said to those individuals that I gave advice to, we want you around. If you're a member of our transgender community, even if you're one of our allies, we want you around. That's what's important. We need you around.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, all right, let's move into our next topic, because I kind of rambled there.
And I think I'm probably going to take the lead on this one.
Okay, yeah, this is one. So we're going to talk a little bit about the real life test. Now, I'm going to start this thing off with something that I kind of heard of this. But because of how my transition's going and how I've gone through it, I didn't really have a whole lot of experience with this particular thing. So I had to do a little bit of research. But yes, in this particular case, Stephanie's going to kind of take the lead on this particular topic. So, Steph, why don't you give us your...
So, for those who are confused what the real-life test means, basically, here's the thing. Because our society as a whole is transphobic, and that's just a fact, it's not something that's debatable, there are measures in place to... We'll call them roadblocks that are in place to prevent a trans woman from getting access to the healthcare we want. Now, the first ones we already talked about, you have to, just to get on hormones, you got to go through some hurdles. You don't just go to your doctor and say, hey, I want to transition, give me hormones. They won't. That's a process. But gender dysphoria is a diagnosable mental disorder. And it's not mental health, but it is a condition. It's something. It doesn't mean you're crazy, but it just means that your inner self doesn't align with your outer self. And so, one of the things that a lot of trans women seek to do, and trans men as well, is they want to have cosmetic surgeries or physical surgery. They want to have surgeries that will give them that alignment. That's hormone therapy is the starting point for most people, or just socially transitioning, cross dressing, and some things. Well, we say cross dressing, but you know what we mean.
Not the fetishes of the guys who do it.
Right. It's just dressing in the gender that you identify it. And then there's presenting in public. These things are things that a lot of us aspire to, but there's actual legal hurdles that are in place that make it mandatory for a trans person to live in the gender, live as the gender of their, that they identify with, for X amount of time before they can seek the surgeries. Now there's, you can get some, like we talked about, you can get something, you can get the hormones pretty easy depending on which route you go, but it can still be a hurdle. you're not going to get the, what's it called, oreectomy or orchiectomy?
Orchiectomy.
Orchiectomy. You're not going to get that without the True Life test. You're not going to get a vaginoplasty without passing this. So what it is the surgeon oftentimes will not, and it depends on the insurance company, and it depends on the doctor, and it depends on the facility. But for the most part, in the United States and in Great Britain, it's this way. And it may be this way in Canada. I don't know. I haven't looked because I'm not Canadian. But I do talk to people in other countries, and it's basically this. You have to prove you're transgender. So you can't just say, I'm a woman. So basically, you have to go to work. I have to go to work as Stephanie. I have to go to Walmart. I have to be Stephanie. I have to dress like a woman. And the reason why this is bullshit, because it's for one, it imposes restrictions on you. It's basically saying, you want to call yourself trans, okay, but we're going to force you into gender stereotypes. Because where do non-binaries fit? If a non-binary person wants to go get, if a non-binary is assigned male at birth, and they want to go become, they want to flip things inside out, they can't, because they can't live as the opposite gender, because non-binary is not the same thing as, you know, male to female or female to male. So that's a hurdle. But the thing is, like, you have to prove that you have to live in your gender. But here's the thing, like, let's say, because this has happened, I know people who have had this happen. Let's say you work for a company that doesn't affirm gender transitioning, doesn't affirm gender people. And it depends on, there is that Discrimination Act, you know, the Civil Rights Act, but that only makes it so they can't fire you. They do not have to accommodate you. So let's say you work for a company that says, all right, we'll let you dress like a girl because we can't stop you legally. And you want us to call you by your girl name, we'll do it. But you still got to pee in the men's room because you have boy parts. Well, that's a conflict. But according to the real life test, if you're not using the correct facilities, you're going to fail. Now, are they going to ask you that? We don't. I don't know. Probably not. Most likely not. But the thing is, there are insurance companies who have it written in their policies that if you can't pass the real life test, and they will verify with your employer that you are going to work as who you say you are. They will verify with your psychiatrist and your psychologist and your endocrinologist and your general practitioner and all your other legal, or not legal, but medical teams and everybody that you're going, all the professionals you're going. They'll want letters. They'll want proof. And they will do everything they can to stop you from getting the surgery you want. There's a 2 to 3 year wait list for a lot of these surgeries, because it's not just that people can't pass the test, but it's also you have so few doctors, so few surgeons that are willing to do it. And so you have a lot of people who can't even get on the wait list because they don't have insurance. And so the surgical facilities, whoever it is, the university or whoever does the surgery, is going to say, no, we can't accept your application because you can't pay for it right now. So we're not even going to put you on the wait list. So there's all these obstacles in your way. But the thing I wanted to talk about, the True Life test, and the reason why I brought up non-binary is because it does illustrate kind of how backwards it is, because women, cisgendered women want to go and get breast augmentation. There's nobody stopping them. You go into the wherever you get your boobs done, you go in there, they're going to give you boobs. You just tell them how big or small you want them, and then you got them. There's no psychological evaluations. You don't need any letters. You don't need, you know, you're making a physical change to your body. But if me or Robin, even though we're transgender, we've got letters, if one of us wanted to go get breast augmentation, you got to have all these extra layers. Which, just to get to that point, you have to prove you have to at least convince somebody you're trans before they will give you the hormones to begin with. So there's a lot of things that go into this, and it's just, it's one of the reasons why, like, visibly they want to prevent trans women from being, or trans men, from being visible in public, because it will prevent you if you can't live as your gender, it will prevent you from getting the healthcare you're looking for. Now there are caveats, there's ways around some of this stuff, and things are changing. And some of it is, I don't know, Robin looks like she's got something she wants to say.
But finish your point, then I'm going to step in.
Okay, but the thing is, like, there's so many reasons why I feel like there's a lot, it's invasive. There's a lot of things that invades your privacy. There's a lot of things where it. Now, it's not to say you're not, I mean, look, if you're going to be, you want to transition and you want to have the surgery, you're probably going to want to be living as a woman anyways. Right? That should be your goal. But it's not the government's place to step in and I don't know, gatekeep, if you will. But the other problem with this True Life test that I have with it is because they are making, you know, they're trying to make it damn near impossible in some places. So if you can't go to work as your preferred gender, let's say you work for a Catholic school, and they say, no, we're not going to respect your gender or you're going to lose your job. And that's one of the few examples where, because of the religious freedom, they can, which we're not going to get into that topic today. But, you know, I don't know. I just feel like there's so many different layers to this. And I just don't think that it's really anybody's business. I'm not saying you should be able to wake up one day and say, okay, go to the mall and say, give me a pussy. If you weren't born with one. But it shouldn't be you need all these other things either. It's like, you know, you get your letter or whatever, you got your hormones, whatever, or you're transitioning, that should be enough. Once you've convinced them to give you hormones, that should be enough for you to say, I'm ready for the whatever next step I want to take, so long as you're healthy.
Okay, so here's the points I'm going to make in this particular subject. I first off want to point out, Steph, that what you said, the whole thing, has a lot of merits. And there's also some things in there that I can tell just from this how riled up you are, that it seems like it is a roadblock. But, I spent a majority of today researching this, okay? So where the real life test comes from is from a medical guideline called the Standards of Care, mm-hmm. Okay? And what that is that is a handbook, essentially, to all doctors in all fields about how they're supposed to address medical issues of all individuals. That's cisgendered, that's transgendered, and everything else. Now, I looked today at the latest version of it. Now, I say latest version of it. That was the last time it was revised was 2017. Now, that's a few years, mm-hmm. but that's still pretty new. And I will say I have learned some things that kind of, and I don't mean this, but they kind of counter some of your arguments here. So first off, while there are insurance companies and things that are still requiring those, it's not the federal government anymore.
Requirement
now.
I never said it was the government. I said it was surgeons or insurance companies. It's gatekeeping, no matter who's doing the gatekeeping.
The current guidelines, and there are going to be some doctors who still would like to have it, but the current guidelines, and I think this is where it's kind of my experience fits into this little part. Things are not required anymore. It is up to the doctor and up to the insurance company, which is becoming a little less up to the insurance company and becoming a little more whether the doctor says yes or no. A doctor for HRT and even orchiectomies, GRS, gender reassignment surgeries, they now have the flexibility to go, I don't really need, look at you, you know what you want, you're presenting this way, sure, as long as everything else health-wise is okay, we can go with it. You don't necessarily these days have to have that.
No.
I hadn't had to go through any of that to get my hormones, but that's different than how I transitioned or started the transition, because I took a very long backwards way to do
it. You didn't just go into Walmart and buy estrogen.
That's true. The other part to it is where the standards of care come from. Now, it does seem like it is a roadblock. And I get that. This is where I get to play a little devil's advocate.
Well, I'm gonna say this. Be careful where you go with this, because these standards were created at a time when trans people didn't exist and they didn't understand us.
You're right.
So they are archaic and they're rooted in a lot of bad science. I've done my research on it too, because I didn't want to have to go through it.
Where they come from in the more modern time and why they're still important. Okay? I have some Facebook friends, some former Facebook friends, that they used to send me post all the time. They used to see it, all these things about people who had other conditions. Some of them included DID, which is...
Yes, I know.
Okay. And they would transition. And they would transition from one gender to the other, realize they weren't transgender, and then transition back. Now, I think while they're not perfect, and I'm not saying we need the real life test, I'm saying I can understand how they can be beneficial.
No, but it shouldn't be about, I mean, that's a psychiatric evaluation. That should be a questionnaire. It should be, we sit down, your medical doctor asks you.
But it is
questions.
The real life test is a psychological test.
That's what I'm saying. But it shouldn't be, you have to prove it. You shouldn't have to prove it. That's the part that's...
The other part to this is, and I get what you're saying, Steph. I get it. I really do. You don't have to prove you're transgender, okay? You either are or you're not. There are enough people out there that don't understand what that means if they fall into this trap. The other thing I can see this from is why would a doctor want this? Well, honestly, if I was a surgeon, I think I kind of would too, from the standpoint of I need to make sure before I go cutting things off, you understand this isn't reversible. This is something you want. So now I'm not held liable for a bad diagnosis from previous. So I see how it can protect the medical industry. Now, your point about non-binary. Let's face it. Even the 2017 standards do not deal with that. And the reason is, even though it's modern, it's 2017. We weren't having the binary discussion.
I understand, but it was the same. There were people who thought they were trans, but they weren't. But they may have been non-binary, but we didn't have that. We didn't have the terminology.
I think the real life test.
Transgender until 20 years ago.
The real life test, the point I'm trying to make, is... I think it needs another update to include that. I also think that...
I just think that there needs to be...
It's becoming less of a roadblock than you think it is.
No, I'm not. I was just explaining what it is and what some of the... what it was in the past.
And it's... But that's the thing, too, is we have to also keep in mind with our listeners that was the past.
Yes. And
there are going to be plenty of girls like us that
some of
did
it is
go
changing,
through it.
But there's a lot of states right now trying to make it harder. They're trying to go in the other direction.
But that's a whole nother conversation for a whole nother day on a whole nother topic, right, too.
I didn't know if we were going to get too deep into this. I just wanted to point it out that it is one of those things that it exists. Trans men too often are against it for different reasons, but there are people who have their beliefs on it. I just thought it was worth talking about.
It is, and it is worth talking about. I just want we as trans individuals also, we kind of get riled up on the old school things.
Well, like,
now, wait a minute. No. Let me. We get riled up on these old school things because they're kind of thrown at us. You know, the standards of care. You know this. I had a discussion not that long ago with somebody who wanted to argue with me over redistribution of muscles. And that's what they threw at me, was a standards of care from the 1990s that said that could happen.
Yes.
So what we need to, as riled up as we get over these things, we also need to understand that when we get these things thrown at us and tried to use against us, there are more updated versions. Like the previous version of the real life test.
But we're not there yet.
We're not there yet. But it's getting better, and we got to remember that before we get all riled up.
No, but if we don't talk about it, we won't get there.
You're right, but we get riled. We all transgender individuals, we get riled up over these things.
Well, because partially, it's nobody's business, really.
It should be
between you and your surgeon. And
you're right. Your surgeon,
they shouldn't have to.
But it's also between your insurance company, too. And, I mean, it's a big, big
thing. If your insurance company's going to cover SRS or GRS or whatever they call it, it should be any other medical procedure. As long as your doctor says you're healthy for it, go for it. It shouldn't be, well, we want you to pass this test. Because the test, whether there's merit to the test or not, my issue with it is it's not defined. It's literally, you have to prove you're transgender, and that could be up to the doctor to say, yeah, I just don't buy it. You didn't get laser surgery, or you didn't shave your Adam's apple, or you wear purple instead of pink. That's what I'm saying. The real life test isn't defined.
You're right, but
and that's the that's one of the problems is
but
it
that's
is
where
often used as you look at the number of people who do transition and the number of surgeons willing to do it. We're nowhere near supply to meet demand. We're not even close.
I think we're getting riled up as a community.
I'm just talking about. Well,
I know.
Yes, we do.
I think we're getting riled up without understanding, because it's not like anybody talks about the latest editions.
Well, people.
So, like the previous editions, okay? In order to even be considered for GRS, you had to be this. You lived as your identifying gender for a minimum of a year. And you had to be in the same that you had to for HRT. It was like minimum 3 months.
Right.
Now it's, you know what, if you want to, if your doctor says. You're right. Surgeons, there are still a lot of old school. Old school mentality surgeons. But I know from conversations newer doctors.
Right.
That's going away.
But if it was, and I'm just saying that like, well, for starters, I think it shouldn't exist. But if it's going to exist, it needs to be defined so that you can at least know what boxes you need to check.
But I do have a question for you, Steph. How do you define transgenderism? We've said this on our podcast several times. Being trans is confusing as hell. Not just to the people on the outside. Hell, you and I don't even completely understand it. So I get that. I get what you're saying. And I agree that it does need to be defined. But here's the question that needs to be asked. how do we define it? How do medical professionals define it if the trans community doesn't have an answer itself? Now, I think, in all honesty, if the real life test is going to continue to be part of the standards of care, we need, now this is for all you transgender kids who are going to want to grow up and figure out what your profession is going to be, we need medical professionals who have firsthand experience working on this, not just dudes from the Mayo Clinic.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, there's so many different, and we couldn't get too into it today. We were able to, I felt like it was worth talking about in the health episode because it is a health issue.
It is a big health issue.
And I think it's also worth mentioning just, there's...
I took the wind out of her sail, folks.
No, okay, all right, The thing is, like, one of the reasons why, it doesn't matter what the standards of care are because they like you said, they do change, but it's who they're written by and what they're going on when they write it. But for example, let's say, okay, you are in a car accident, mm-hmm. and you're incapacitated and the ambulance takes you to the ER. The doctors are permitted to do whatever's medically necessary to save your life.
Yeah.
Now, we already know, and this is, you can call it a stretch or whatever, but we already know that hormones, the HRT and transitioning help save transgender women's lives, and men too, because suicide is rampant in our culture.
Very badly, yes.
And one of the reasons for that is exactly what I mentioned earlier. There are women out there, there are trans women out there who would rather be dead than be forced to have to go to work as a dude. Now, here you have what could be conceivably a life-saving measure that is being withheld, and it's not just, even if it's covered, which oftentimes it's not even covered.
So yeah.
It almost should be mandatory, but it isn't. But if it, even when it is covered, there's no consistency in which surgeries are covered or what steps you have to take to get there. Some it's a year. Some it's 2 years. Some it's 3 years.
Well, I think...
It's not all just the real life test. Some of it's multiple letters you have to have from all these different people. Or, you know, you got there's just a lot of gatekeeping in the trans medical community that prevents trans women and trans men getting, and of course non-binaries as well, to get the what we consider medically necessary. Now, my last job, their insurance company considered SRS medically necessary if you're diagnosed with... You just had to be diagnosed with gender dysphoria. If somebody said you have gender dysphoria, then it was on you to find a surgeon that would say, okay, I'll do the surgery, and then the insurance company will pay for it.
A lot of surgeons, too. I'm going to add this little caveat to that, too, though. A lot of surgeons who do those particular procedures, they don't take insurance. Because a lot of them, it's just easier to circumvent. And you don't have as many loopholes to jump through.
Yeah.
I know that I have a couple on my list I want to talk to. They don't take insurance.
Yeah.
They have companies they work with to... So if it's someone like me, my broke ass walks in there, there's a finance company. And I pay them. But it helps circumvent all the because insurance companies, and I'm kind of diverging here, insurance companies...
Well, we're going to run out of time if we dig into this.
I know. They are going to make it harder.
Yeah.
But think about it this way. All insurance companies, for all kinds of insurance, that's kind of what they do. They make everything hard. Everything. So, I mean,
Anyways,
the standards of care, I think, change.
I think we need more trans doctors.
Exactly.
And we definitely need more surgeons. We do not... And one of the reasons why there's a lot of people who aren't willing to look to either take the insurance, which is... Or, to learn how to do the surgery is because, yes, it's changing, but there's been that. If you were a doctor in 2017, you aren't up to date on this because you went to school 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 30 mm-hmm. years ago. And yeah, it's on you to get up to date, but if you've been doing surgeries for 30, 20, 40 years, knowing that this is the thing, you're I don't want to mess with that. So it makes it harder for surgeons to, we just need to, yeah, 2017's not that long ago. So we haven't seen enough of the benefits. We right. do need, I think we need more surgeons. We need more trans doctors.
And we need more trans officials.
We just need more access to this healthcare. And I don't know what the answer is, but we need to find a way to make it easier so you don't have to go on GoFundMe and sell your soul to get the surgery that's going to keep you from killing yourself. When, as hard as we all want to fight it, depression is one of those things that you can lose control without even knowing you're losing control.
That's very true. But I think in order to do that, that's a whole nother discussion on depression and psychological stuff that one day we'll have to get down. So, now that we've had a nice little argument. Is that an argument? No, I think it was just a debate.
Yeah, we're going to talk about making babies. Making baby songs.
No, we're not. Do we have time? We don't have time for the... I'm going to make a point on one other quick topic before we get into the top five. And because I kind of said if we had time, we would get into this. And I don't want to get deep into this, which means for those of you who are thinking, I'm going to tell you, hey, if you go to the store and you get this, your boobs will grow.
No.
We're talking home remedies and over-the-counter stuff. I have a pretty, really, really brief point on this.
Take it away.
And that is, don't do it on your own, stupid.
Yes.
These things are really... really flashy. It sounds like, hey, you know, my doctor, say you don't get HRT for whatever, high blood pressure, whatever the reason being. It sounds extremely tempting to go, well, I can go over here and get this thing that has X amount of estrogen, and then I can take 4 times the dose, and I'm getting the same as I would on HRT. Or I can take these herbs and these supplements and make my boobs grow or make my, well, I guess you can't really take ones that make your boobs shrink. But things like that. These supplements and these things, they're not regulated at all.
No.
And for those of us who think that that's a great way to do it, don't do it. It's dangerous. I have found a few stories out there of people who've done that. And they're no longer with us.
Yeah.
And it's very scary. If there is an over-the-counter or home remedy thing you want to try, can you guess what I'm going to say?
Talk to your doctor.
Oh my God, she got it in one. Yeah. Talk to your doctor. They're actually designed, those home remedies and stuff, they're not designed to replace things like HRT. They're designed to work with it. Okay, yes. So in the grand scheme of the theme of this week, we want you to be here.
But
so
don't
be.
You know which
safe.
Doctor you don't talk to? Dr. Dre, hip hop producer who makes music.
Oh, she's done it. What a segue.
Before we get into our top five this week.
Wait. Do we have a sponsor?
We do.
Oh, my God,
we
Stephanie.
We got a sponsor for our show. Well, for our top
tell
five
me.
Anyways.
Stephanie, tell me all about this wonderful sponsor and what topic this week they are sponsoring on our top five.
So I have people and I have friends in the LGBT community, and I reached out to some friends of mine, and they reached back, and we reciprocated. So here's what's going to happen. The Blibbles, that's all one word, B-L-I-B-B-L-E-S, is a Twitch streamer who's also gay and pro-LGBT. He describes his channel as such. He says he's a 31-year-old gamer, very gay, an artist, and he likes to promote other LGBT creators. So he has agreed, if you go to his Twitch channel, twitch.tv/theblibbles/about, you'll see none other than our little logo.
Woohoo!
and a description telling people why they should check us out.
That's right.
And so we're telling people to go check out his Twitch stream. He plays the following games, sometimes a lot of RPGs. He likes to play Final Fantasy, Shin Megami Tensei, the Tales series, Dark Souls and Demon Souls, The Sims, oh, and my favorite, Minecraft. Plus many, 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 many more. So he streams 3 days a week. And we are going to be joining him on one of these streams. Now, we're not streaming this week.
Clearly.
But this Thursday, what time did we say? 8 p.m.?
I believe it was 8 p.m. Central time.
Your girls are going to be on his stream. We're going to be chatting with them in the while he's playing games. We'll be chatting.
That's right. On the Discords.
That's right.
So you have to go to... Oh, dear Lord. I'm going to be on Discord again.
Twitch.tv/TheBlibbles. And you can learn all about us and other LGBT peoples. And, you know, we'll talk about, we'll try to stay out of the you know, controversial stuffs. Other than that, you know, I guess we can both agree on the fuck Ted Cruz. Can we both say that? Can we go there? No, I don't want to go there. It's a world. People want to say
it. I would say it, but I yell at AJ for saying it. So I don't want to be a hypocrite. So, yeah. But, yes, join us 8 p.m. Thursday.
This week.
Thursday, what is the date? That would be the 11th of March.
That's my sister's birthday. Oh, my God. That's
oh, my God. Anyways. Yeah, and your girls are going to be on there.
Yep.
We're going to put all this stuff up on our Facebook and Twitter. And when I say we, I mean Stephanie's going to do it because... Come on.
So our top five this week, thank you to our sponsor for agreeing to help us out, is our favorite love songs. Now, I interpreted this as boning songs because that's how babies are made. You make the love. And Stephanie was scolded by her big sister that that is not the case. So I had to take my genuine pony off the list.
Girl,
because
if you
I was
only,
told it didn't belong.
If you only knew some of the shit that went down to that song in my life.
That's you. That's you.
Oh, my God. You turned red as a lobster.
Oh, boy. So we're going to talk. We're going to share our top five love songs, but not love-making songs, because I'm the... What is the word? Whatever.
She doesn't even have the word. No,
I was gonna
this
say
is
square, but okay.
These are gonna be more traditional, you know. As AJ tells me, my cheesy love songs.
Yes.
That yeah, we definitely they're not boning songs.
No.
They are the expressions of love and things like that and feelings, not expressions of horniness. You bring back bad memories talking about Pony.
My Little Pony?
Not that one.
Oh.
The genuine one.
Yes, a genuine My Little Pony.
No, not a genuine. Oh, dear God, you just ruined My Little Pony for me.
All right, so who goes first? Me
you
or
go
you?
First, as always. First. What's your number five?
TLC is my favorite R&B band, unfortunately, as you all know. My girl Left Eye passed away when I was still a teenager. Actually, I may have been 19. I'm not sure how old I was. But I'm still a teenager. But they did a CD called Crazy Sexy Cool. And on that is a song called Digging on You, which is this is my number five. Digging on You it's basically, you know, it's puppy love, if you will. It's, you know, she's got a crush, but it's also kind of like, you know, hey, you know, you're cool. Let's see where this goes. It's nothing like Waterfalls, which is not on my list because that's a, you know, don't have sex and get AIDS song, which, you know, is probably good advice.
It's very good advice.
But it's one of my favorite songs. And I was, I want to say 11, maybe 12 years old when I got my Crazy Sexy Cool cassette because I'm old. And I listened to that tape all the damn time. And so this was one of my favorite songs on that album, if you will. Some of my other songs were, of course, Red Light Special, which is more of a getting down song, so I couldn't put it on the list.
No. We're talking expressions of love, but not expressions of nakedness.
Digging on You is my number five. TLC, T-Boz, Left Eye, Rest in Peace, and Chili.
Okay.
Also, Left Eye was my first Funko Pop, for fun tidbit.
Yeah. So, if you ask AJ, a lot of times I have a whole series of songs I love that are essentially duets, and she still calls them cheesy. One of these days we'll probably do a top five duets. My number five love song would be on there, and it would probably be closer to number one or number two. It is definitely from my favorite year, the 80s.
Okay.
And it is Leather and Lace by Stevie Nicks and Don Henley. I don't know what it is about that song, but it's one of those that I can be in a bad mood and I hear that one. And, if AJ's around, I'm a little flirty. And I mean, you know, clingy flirty, not, hey, let's go in the other room kind of flirty, but you know what I mean? I've always been a fan of Don Henley. I've always been a fan of Stevie Nicks. I mean, obviously they were big staples of the 80s. And they're just amazing artists. And so to put the two of them together, it's also a song I can't help but sing along with, even though I'm tone deaf.
Sure.
So I just absolutely can't imagine that one not being on my list. So that's my number five, Leather and Lace by Stevie Nicks and Don Henley. So number four, Steph.
When Robin talks music, she speaks in Greek and I hear a bunch of gibberish. When I talk music, she just hears a bunch of tweets and whistles and other chirping sounds. So obviously we're not on the same wavelength here. My number four is also in the R&B realm, and it's not Pat Benatar's Sex as a Weapon, because, again, I was told that don't belong on my list.
That's not even R&B.
No, that wasn't, but it would have been on my list. Oh. But my R&B song is actually by Rihanna, and it's not a traditional love song in that this is the perfect romance, but it is a love song in that it's we live in an imperfect world. And this song definitely captures that, and it's called Unfaithful, but it's the song where she sings about, it's the imagery of the song. She's singing about how she's a murderer because she's into a man who's in a relationship, and he's cheating on his significant other with her, but she doesn't want to stop because it hurts her to not be in this relationship. She would rather, and she knows it's killing him, but at the same time, not being with him is killing her. Now, the reason why this is my favorite song, one on my favorite list, is because, for starters, I don't have a whole lot of experience in the love department, but I do have experience being cheated on. So this is a song I can kind of sort of relate to. And okay. My girlfriend that cheated on me did so with my sister.
Okay, layers.
This was Rihanna's first song when she first came out. She was brand new and it was a beautiful love song. But it's not, when you listen to it, you're like, yeah, it's a love, it is a sad song, it is a love song, but it's like, it's not your, like I said, perfect romance, but it is a reminder that love kind of sucks sometimes.
Okay. There's a lot of layers. We're going to have to circle back to that one of these days.
Me and my sister do not talk anymore, but not necessarily for that particular reason.
Well, we're not going to get across that bridge right now. All right, so my number four, as far as my cheesy love songs, as AJ would say, is a little more upbeat than most of the love songs on my list, as far as tempo, things like that. And I love the message of it. And it's I Wanna Come Over by Melissa Etheridge.
Interesting.
And the reason for that is because of the... I'm sure there's a... Knowing Melissa Etheridge and her music, I'm sure there's a deeper message than I get. But to me, the lyric itself. I want to come over to hell with the consequence. You told me you loved me. All right. I dig that. That's right up my alley there, you know. That's exactly, I guarantee you, if AJ and I were dating and that was the case. Yeah. I'd either be singing that to her, or she'd be saying the same thing to me, or at least I hope she would be.
Okay.
But that's my number four. It's a lot more peppy than what's left on my list. But yeah, that's my number four. Number three, Steph!
You sure that's not a throw away the condoms and let's get down kind of dirty song? Come over and let's just say fuck it, throw caution to the wind.
No, I mean, it can be taken that way, but I don't. All right. I feel more
my
of
number
it.
Three, yeah. My number three is important to me because, like I said, I don't have a lot of romantic experience. But I did have a friend who I had a crush on. And I'm not going to say her name because I know she don't listen to the show, but I'm still not going to say her name. But I was really into this girl, really bad into this girl. And she was a good friend of mine. So it was one of those complicated relationships. And it ended up with, she ended up agreeing to go on one date with me. We went to the Sweetheart Ball, which is a pretty romantic deal for a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
And so at the Sweetheart Ball, we danced to this song. And it will live in my memory probably the rest of my life. It's probably the most romantic thing I've ever experienced in my entire life. As sad and pathetic as that may be. But it is Mariah Carey's Butterfly. And if you were in high school, when I was in high school, you slow danced to Butterfly. You didn't even get a choice. You weren't getting any action if you didn't know how to dance to Mariah Carey.
Nope.
And it was one of those moments where I realized that the friendship was more important than this failed concept of romance. And so the song to me is personal, but it's also a beautiful song. You know, it's the opposite in some ways is unfaithful. She's giving up her love. She's letting them fly away on the hope that they'll come back when the time's right.
Okay.
Which I am pretty familiar with.
Okay. All right.
Giving up love or missing the mark.
Well,
coming short. Coming up short? No, not so much.
Not so much, but it happens when it happens, trust me. Okay, so, and just so that you know, I have a song, my number one is a song that's got a meaning to me like that, but we'll get to that in a minute. Alright, so my number three is a song, this is the original version of this song. This song was covered by a country music star and made that country music star was considered one of his huge big time hits, but the original artist doesn't get a whole lot of love on this particular song for it, but I like his way better. And that's the song Shameless. Now the original artist isn't Garth Brooks. So if you think Garth wrote it, ugh, you uncultured troglodyte. No. We're talking about this was written and done, performed by the piano man himself, Billy Joel. And I just love that version. I got it on several different formats. It's a song that always makes me cry.
It's a good song.
It's a really good song. I love that one to death. It's one of the few that if I could get AJ to slow dance with me, it would be on that list.
Okay.
But that's my number three. I just love that one so much because, you know, it really is. It's about being overwhelmed by love that you don't. You're willing to do anything for that person. Anything at all. You know, if you're a macho man that's everybody sees as this pillar of strength, you have zero shame in showing how weak you are to this person that you love. And I think it does sum up kind of some stuff from me and AJ a lot. So I think that's where a lot of it's very important. That's my number three. Stephanie, number two.
Well, as you may have guessed, our lists are different because our experiences are different. And
very
you heard
different.
Her call me a chuckadile, so I've decided stuff now.
Did I just... I called you a troglodyte, not a chuckadile. No, it's not. Chuckadile is a cookie. Chuckadiles are dessert. A troglodyte. Oh
I like
God.
Garth Brooks, that other guy.
I didn't say Garth was bad. I like some of Garth's music, but I like Billy's version of that song, and Garth gets more credit for the song than Billy does.
All right. So my number, what are we on, number
two.
Three?
Two.
Oh, that's right. We're on number two. This is also Mariah Carey. It's my all. It's from the same album, Butterfly. And this is the actual, like, gut-wrenching song from her album. This is the one that just, it's a lot harder to take. There's no memories associated with this other than I listened to that CD 1,000 times, and I'm gonna listen to it another 1,000 times before I die. But it's just one of those songs, like all Mariah Carey songs, it's just, it's, when I'm in the mood where I want to imagine what love will be like, or picturing myself at a wedding, or an anniversary or whatever, it's this song that I hear playing in the background.
Okay. All
because
right.
it's just, I feel that strongly that if I do meet somebody, that they're going to get all of me.
Yeah.
And okay. And they're not going to, and that's, and until I can find someone who can take all of me, I'll be all right.
Okay. I'm sure there's a joke I could make in there, but that's such a good moment. I'm not going to make a joke.
Okay.
All right, my number two is by another...
She said number two. I'm just kidding. Someone had to make a joke.
Somebody makes a joke. Oh, God. And here I try to take the high ground. You really are a troglodyte. No, I'm just kidding. I love you to death. You know that. My number two is by a band that is very much known for their... we'll call them sappy and cheesy music from the 70s and 80s. When you talk love songs, people who wrote love songs from that time frame, I think most people, everybody's automatically going to go Richard Marx from the 80s, but I think people are going to say this band is right there next to it and then probably followed by Chicago. At least in my mind, when we're talking artists that write love songs, those are the top three to me. And that's Air Supply.
Ooh.
And I love me some Air Supply. I have a couple of songs that I can't listen to anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because they make me so sad because they bring up some things from the past. But this one always seems to hit my radio, my playlist, or whatever, when I'm in a romantic mood. And that's not the, hey, let's go get laid mood. That's snuggling by the fire, watching TV, wrapped up in AJ's arms kind of thing. And the song is Lost in Love. And to me, I just adore that song. It just, it describes how I feel. And again, it's another one that if I could get AJ to slow dance with me, would be on the playlist for certain. It just really, and I find that it does meet a lot of what I feel today. So that's my number two. So now here we are. Stephanie, you're number one.
So I actually had three songs that I was that I put on my list, and I'm trying to narrow it down to which one actually sums up how I feel about love, and which one means the most to me. Genuine didn't make the cut, unfortunately. But
oh my goodness, who would have guessed?
But it was on the list until I was told to take it off, and there's a reason for it, but I took it off. In all actual seriousness, I was gonna pick that song because it's... Anyways, I'm not going to get into it. I picked The Cardigan. Love Fool. And the reason why I picked that is because that's how I feel. You know, here's someone who's... She's into somebody that's not really into her, but she can't accept reality, and she's just her world doesn't make sense. It's a goofy song, but that's me. I'm goofy. I'm lighthearted. I mean, that's how I cover up my pain. But it's also a song I listened to when I was... I mean, the song came out when I was 13. So it was when I was just discovering, you know, what I may or may not be into. And so it was one of those songs that was on the radio all the time. And it does take me back to a time and a place. I was in art class. The song came on the radio. And this was when I was making, clay, you know, you get a clay and you make your head sculpture thing. I don't have words right now. But you're making a sculpture of your face, and there was a girl in that class that, you know, every time the song came on, she kind of resembled the girl who sings the song from the Cardigans. The lead singer, I forget her name. But anyway, this was one of those times where it just, that song, it's for me, it's the best I could come up with. It's this hopeful fantasy that's not very grounded in reality. In the music video, she's basically, I think she's like recreating I Dream of Jeannie, only it's not working out for her. No, it doesn't work out. But it's basically just, you know, that's, you know, I was going to put Bleed Like Me by Garbage on here, but that's not really a love song either. But it's the one I listen to when I'm in that kind of mood. Because I don't have the experience with romance.
Okay. All right. Well, now we're gotten down to it. The number one, my number one. Like I said earlier, I had a story behind it. Now, I'm not going to tell everybody the story.
Okay.
There are a few of you who are out there who know of the story before AJ, of somebody that was very dear to me. And my number one love song of all time, it's a little older than most of the stuff on my list, by a really good guitar legend, an amazing guitar player, but I used to slow dance to this one with someone really special, and they used to actually sing this to me when we danced. And so it does hold a very special place in my heart. The one time I've gotten AJ to actually slow dance with me, we slow danced to this one. But it does bring up other feelings. Mm-hmm. So is it one that I would love for her to dance with me again? Well, you know, yes. But it does bring conflicting feelings, I should say. And that is Wonderful Tonight by Eric Clapton. It just holds a special place in my heart. There's a few of you out there who know the whole story of that person that was before AJ, that I was very attached to. And this is a song that really meant a lot. So, but that's my number one. I don't really have any much more to say, otherwise I'm going to start crying.
It's very rare that I do this, but since she's being real, I'm going to be up front.
Oh, no.
No,
I'm scared.
I picked my whole list was bullshit. None of these songs, other than Butterfly, none of these songs really mean to me what I said they mean. My actual top five, which we will do another day, are almost all country songs. But I didn't want to pick a bunch of country songs because I knew you were going to make fun of me if I did. And
why
I didn't
want... Why would I make fun of you?
You call me a chocodile.
Troglodyte.
So my list really just says make fun of Robin's songs and make shit up as you go.
Oh my god.
So I did my best. But the truth is, I wasn't lying. I don't have a whole lot of experience in the romantic field like Robin does. When we started this segment, I was tempted to just get up and walk out and let her do it herself. But I didn't. I got through
it. Well, thank you for sticking with me.
I got through it because this is a hard topic for me. But I'm glad that you were able to share part of your story with me, which you did.
Well, and I've shared some of what, like, the number one. You know a little bit of the story.
And I've given you some of my past.
Yeah.
So I don't mean to sound like, because I want you to know you're going to get the real us on this show, but sometimes...
Every time.
But sometimes I'm going to have to put up a wall to protect myself, and that's what I did tonight.
And she does that, and then I say, all right, whatevs. Cool. Cool story. That's okay. You tell me when you're ready, yo. So, that brings us full circle. That means it's the end of episode 8.
Oh my god.
Which one of us is fading away?
I don't know.
Please don't be me. I like being here.
Wait, ooh. What? Is this a reference to
the Last Jedi? Didn't Luke just fade away?
Yeah, but...
I don't think either one of us are fading. We're too stubborn for that shit. So, I want to thank everybody for listening today. This has been fun. And it has been a great time. I want to thank everybody who follows us on social media. You can find us Facebook and Twitter at TransposePod.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow me on Twitter. And maybe I'll put something up at some point at Robin Allura.
You can find me hiding in the spider's lair.
The spider's lair,
at
where
the
chaos resides.
That is correct. Where I go by the name the Retro Witch.
She thinks I don't listen. I do. I just tune most of it out. So anyway,
thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you very much.
Letting us be ourselves. And now we drink.
I think we've earned a couple drinks.
Yay!
Do we want to tell them what we're doing next week, or are we still trying to figure that part out?
We're gonna probably talk about religion because I have to go there.
Okay.
Robin doesn't want to, but she, you know, I have to because it's something I struggle with as a Christian.
And that's the thing that we're going to talk about is being religious and LGBTQ
yes.
at the same time.
Yes.
So, thank you again, everybody. We love you all. Follow us on social media. Interact with us. Download us. Download us? That
yeah.
didn't work. Tell your friends. Tell your friends. Yeah. Tell your relatives. Tell your congressman. No, don't tell your congressman. They might get us banned. It might be illegal for us to do this.
Yeah, and don't go down on us. That's what she was trying to say.
Well, wait
Bye-bye.
A minute. Oh, bye.